and be an encouragement and help to all of us. Stand to your feet. Well, no, don't stand. Because I want you to turn to Song of Solomon. I want you to find it first. Song of Solomon. I know some of you can find it quickly and some will look for it. So that's not a problem. Don't ever feel bad looking for scripture. Don't even feel bad using your index. I tell class in Sunday school that when it comes to looking for scripture, if you don't know where it is, look in the index in front of your Bible and find it. And don't ever be embarrassed by it, because we're here to study the Word of God and hear from heaven and not to impress anybody how much we know about the Bible and where everything is. And I'll tell you, some of those minor prophets, I forget where they are. They're hidden there somewhere. Sometimes I have to stop and think and hunt for them for a little bit. And I pray that God help us understand that and look in the Word. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Won't you stand, please? We're reading just a part of a verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God, the privilege we've had to pray and sing. And Father, now I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us preach. I pray for a divine move of God in my heart and the hearts of all of us tonight as we think about leaning upon the Lord Jesus. And Father, what we just shared with our people and knowing that attacks will come, help us to always remember that we can lean upon you. And we certainly feel our helplessness tonight, our littleness and insignificance. But Father, we also recognize thou art a great God, greatly to be praised. And so and your greatness is unsearchable. So I pray you'd help us remember that we serve a great God. Thank you for what you do. Rebuke the devil. I plead the blood of Jesus in his name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching on this subject, leaning upon our beloved. Now, who is this? I noticed in the first of that verse, it said, who is this? And just in way of introduction, look back in chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke and so forth? And then in chapter 6 and verse number 10, says, who is this? Who is she? Not who is this, who is she that looketh forth as a morning? And then in our text we read, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? She's called a she in chapter 6. Also in chapter 8 in our text, it's mentioned her. So it is a woman we're talking about. And if you know about the Song of Solomon, you realize it's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus and of the church. And the church as a bride, and Jesus as a bridegroom. Now, there's a whole lot of things that goes in there that some people disagree about, but I don't think you can read the Song of Solomon without coming out with a conclusion that Jesus and his bride is what we're talking about. And that it is there in such a wonderful picture. If you're looking for a love story to read, read the Song of Solomon. Read the book of Ruth, either one. And the greatest you'll find is here in the Word of God. And so I'm glad to be a part of the church. And here the church, saved, born again. Let me just insert that. I always try to. If you're not saved, you're not a part of the church. If you're saved, you're a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to remember that. Only blood-bought people are those that we're talking about tonight, leaning upon her beloved. You can't lean upon somebody if you don't know them. And you got to personally be acquainted with them and walk with them if you are to lean upon them. So I encourage you tonight, if you do not know that you're saved, that you come to know Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I encourage you to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame. He took it all for us. He took our place, paid our price, took our sin. In fact, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. At Calvary, he didn't just die in our place. He identified with us as us. And I can't get over that. I can't comprehend the depth of that. But I do know it's true. And that when Jesus sees us now, he sees us in his Son, the Lord Jesus. When God sees us in the Son, the Lord Jesus. And I said last Sunday, I believe it was, that's perfection, amen. You can't find any fault in Jesus. You can look, but you'll never find it. There's no fault found in him. Now, here he said, coming up out of the wilderness. And reminds you of Israel coming up out of Egypt. They came through the wilderness, and they certainly had to learn to lean on God. They didn't have any food, and God rained manna down. They didn't have water, God got it out of a rock. And they had to learn to lean. And tonight, we need to lean upon our beloved. And I pray that God would help us as we look at this together. There's some songs that I love. One of them's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I love that song, amen. Might sing it before we leave here tonight. Leaning on the everlasting arms. They are everlasting arms. And the greatest, strongest arms you can lean on is the arm of the Lord. Now, you may trust in some man. And by the way, let me just plug this in. I plug things in every once in a while. Let me just plug this in right here. And I get asked a lot of times who's preaching, when they're preaching, and that kind of thing. And I realize everybody has their favorites and all that. But let me say this tonight. I would that all of us could get beyond that and realize it's not the preacher that is so important. Now, we need to pray for the preacher. He is important. We do need the preachers. We do need the Word of God preached. And we need men that walk with God, men that love God, do the preaching. But it's a message that we need. We need to hear about the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one I'm interested in. And I try to follow God and get him men to preach, but I want them to preach Jesus and God to lift, help us lift him up. And if that, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. And I know he's lifted up on the cross of Calvary, but I believe when he's lifted up in the services, when he's lifted up in the preaching, when he's lifted up in the singing, when he's lifted up in the testifying, it glorifies him and he draws unto himself. Amen. And testifying, telling how good God's been to you. And preaching the word of God about the Lord Jesus. It's all about him anyhow. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But let me say tonight, thank God for the word of God that we have. Amen. We'll talk about it in a minute. But I was talking about songs a while ago. Leaning on the everlasting arm. There's another song I love. I'm learning to lean. And if you haven't learned to lean, if you think you've learned to lean all you should, you probably haven't learned much. But the more I learn about leaning on Jesus, the more I learn that I need to learn about leaning on Jesus. And you know, you think you've got it. Did that make good sense? I see some of you laughing, but anyway, if it didn't make good sense, I'll try it again. Learning to lean on Jesus. If you think you've already learned to lean on Jesus, then you haven't learned very much, and you need to learn to lean on Jesus. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart that we need to learn to lean on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I do. I was talking about a while ago the Jubilee, getting nervous about different things. And all I need to do is lean on Jesus and trust him. He's the one that has it all in control anyway. He's the one that started this thing. He's the one taking care of it. So it's his and it's not ours. The church the same way. And pastors, now you folk have never pastored, don't know anything about that part of it. But you have been in church and you know some of the struggles sometimes. And you get nervous and you get upset and you get concerned. We don't worry, you know, that's a sin to worry. But we sure do get concerned. That real concern I'm talking about. What we need to do is just lean on Jesus. It's not our church, it's his, amen. It's not our book, it's his book. And not our salvation, it's his salvation. It's not our, we're not the judge, he's the judge. And so all we need to do is lean on him. And I find myself trying, Brother Ben, to learn to lean more on him. And when I don't lean on him, I find myself a fallen. But when I lean on him, I find strength. Hallelujah. I find some help. And he's one you can lean upon and he can help you. Every once in a while, everybody needs somebody to talk to and lean on. But I tell you, the best one you can talk to and lean on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Fact is, he'll understand you. You try to explain some things to somebody and try to, even a closest friend, and try to explain to them, get them to understand exactly what you're trying to say. And a lot of times they don't get it. But I know one that gets it every time. Hey, you don't even have to explain. You just go, And he understands what the means. That's what the Bible said in Romans chapter 8. He understands, the Holy Spirit will interpret, amen, be our intercessor of our groanings. And so we can groan before him. And he said he understood that. And he does and helps us. And I say, praise God. We have one that we can lean upon. But the Word of God, thank God for the Word of God. The surety of his promises. Let's think about that a little bit for tonight. The surety of his promises. I'm glad the Word of God's true. And I know that it is. And I realize, Brother Gary made a statement the other night. And I hope everybody caught what he said by the way that he meant it. Because he said, read something and said, this is not true. But what he was doing, he was reading something that somebody else had said, not God said it. Somebody else has said it. The devil said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. Now, that wasn't true. That was a lie. But it's in the Word of God, recorded as Satan said it. There's certain things recorded in the Word of God that's not true, as somebody else said, but not what God said, what somebody else said. But I want you to know everything that God said is true, and every promise that he's made, he has kept or is keeping or will keep. And you can rest on that, amen? And we'll get to some of those as we go. But in the Old Testament, as you look at it, and the Word of God is all about Jesus. Everywhere you look, you see Jesus. I talk about the book of Song of Psalms, you see him. You see him everywhere you look in the Word of God. But in the Old Testament, from Genesis and Deuteronomy, you find here, and during that time, the law was given. And man's on a downward move, if you would, as he moves down. He sinned. He got out of the will of God. He messed up. The law came. By the way, the law didn't come to save anybody. The law came to be our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. The law shows us how sinful we really are. The grace of God shows us how good God is and merciful he is, and how good and what Jesus did for us at the cross of Calvary. I say hallelujah. I'm glad that God shows up and shows us that. Amen. And by the law. But then you get out of Deuteronomy and you move on to Joshua, and Joshua take him into Canaan, move on through Nehemiah, the historical books, and man's moving outward. That during that time, they came out of Egypt, came out of bondage, and man's moving outward. And then you're getting Job through Book of Song of Solomon, the poetic books. That's an upward movement. The glory of God, the wonderful, wonderful God. And I said the other night, great is our Lord. Amen. And greatly to be praised. Now the book of Psalms. Hey, he's magnified everywhere you look. And great is he. We're looking up then. Now man went down. Man came out, but he looks up. If you ever get out, you'll look up. Amen. You have to look up to get out, in fact. Well, you'll get that after a while. But anyway, and so here we find in the historical books, and it began from Isaiah on through, it's a forward march. And they're looking for the Messiah to come. They're looking forward to what's coming. And then you get in the New Testament, get the Gospels in Christ, and man, again, downward because he crucified the Lord of glory. But I want you to know, in Acts, they went out telling everybody that also in the Gospels had the answer. Jesus Christ had died for sinners. Aren't you glad they went out telling the story? If the early church, have you ever realized this, how much really rested on so few people? There's 120 in the upper room. I don't know how many more may have been believers, but there's 120 in the upper room. And then can you imagine how much rested on them and God filling them and using them for his glory? Can you imagine how much that early church, those few folk that God really put his power on and used them? I know 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 you find later. But even those numbers are just a drop in the bucket. Not even a drop, considering what needed to be done, what has been happening down through the ages since that time of nearly 2,000 years. Did you know it rested upon them obedience to God? And let me say today, it rests upon our obedience that we reach our generation for the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it for another generation. If Jesus doesn't come and take us out of here, we need to realize how much responsibility is resting upon us. It's a proof. And so we need to take the gospel out. And then in the epistles, they began to explain the work of God and what God had done in the church and all is explained to us. But Colossians 1:18 says, and that he may, in the latter part of that verse, and that he may have the preeminence in all things. I say hallelujah. He is to have the preeminence in all things. It is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. And may God help us magnify him and never look to him. The word of God is precious. It's all about him. But then you have Revelation. That's a consummation of all of it. The historical books in the Old Testament, they were looking, marching forward here in the word of God, looking and marching forward because we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 4 and 1, I believe, is a picture of it. And given to us there when John saw heaven open and a voice which said, come up hither. I believe one day we'll hear a shout, come up hither. And it's going to be a trump sound. And we're leaving out of here and going to glory. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're going to heaven? I believe you are. Amen. And so we're looking here and thinking about we have the word of God. Forward, march on and on. But I want you to look at me, please, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read these verses to you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, begin reading there. And I realize the fact that it may be some things here said that, and somebody asked me the other day, or a Sunday, fact is I'm going to deal with it in my Sunday school class, about Calvinism. And I want you to know that's not what we are. Amen. And I just thought I better remind you of that, but I'm going to explain that later to them. But we're going to read some scriptures, but I want you to notice the sovereignty of God in these. We're marching, and this is the thing I want us to get out of it. We're marching forward. We're not going backwards. God isn't running in a circle. God isn't running his people around in a circle. We have a forward march to go. We know where we're going, and we know what God says about this. But it's all in the knowledge of the Holy God, foreknowledge of God that he knew from creation of the world. In fact, he knew before he laid the foundation. Look at verse 3. Blessed, this is Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Blessed. Did you get that? I believe if we really get a hold of that, it'll make everyone want to say, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I pause there and say, hallelujah, brother Grubbs, where's your then right there, amen. You think about it. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Somebody said, well, if he did that, then how's man free will come to work? I'm talking about the God that knows everything from beginning to end. And he chose us in him. And you say, preach, explain all that. The depth of it, I cannot explain. All I can tell you is God knows everything. And before the foundation of the world, he knew I'd be standing here tonight preaching. Amen. He knew you'd be sitting there listening. And we serve a great God. But notice what else he said, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us, and that all make you want to shout glory, hallelujah. He chose us, and now he wants us to live for him, live holy, separated. That word holy is the word sanctification comes from the same word. It means go beyond, live differently. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I chose you for the foundation, and I predestinated you to be adopted. I say, hallelujah. I not only got born in the family of God, I got adopted in the family of God. And you can't disinherit an adopted child. Amen. I praise God. I'm a child by birth. I'm a child by adoption. I have every right and privilege of every adult child because of adoption in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And why God ever saved you, I don't know. Why God ever saved me, I don't know. I just know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever. And I found myself being one of the whosoevers. And so I got in on the whosoevers. And after I got in, I looked back and I found out I was the elect of God. I found out I was a predestinated of God. I found out I was the foreknowledge of God. I found out I was already chosen in God. Hallelujah, you say, preacher. Praise God. Hey, listen, if you ever let the reality of that get down in your heart, it'll make you get so excited you don't know whether you're Calvinist or not. You don't even know what you are. You'll be shouting glory, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved. Saved, saved. Amen. Look in verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted. And I love this part of it. Accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood. There's another oomph in the glory, hallelujah. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It's all in the purpose of God. He purposed in himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and Brother Gary preaching on that the other night, fullness of time. Hey, in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. And another oomph. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, all I want to say when I get through with all of that is, whoo, hallelujah. I can't take it all in. All I can do is say, hallelujah, praise his name. I love it. I love it. I love what Dr. H.A. Arnside said, outside the gate, I saw whosoever. I got in and looked back and saw the elect of God. And that's the best way I've heard it ever put. Amen. A chosen of God, elect of God, adopted of God, predestinated by God. I'm predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. He's a working on us. Amen. You say, preacher, why do God's people go through sufferings and hard times and troubles? I tell you, one of the reasons is because he's conforming us and making us like unto his own son. And a lot of times he's got to get us down so he can work on us. And you laying flat on your back, you're not but one way to look, and that's up. Amen. And then when you're going through problem care and you can't find answers anywhere, the only way you can look is to God. He's the only one who has an answer. Amen. Well, I just thought I'd plug that in too. Let me say number 2, the assurance of salvation. I'm glad for that assurance. I'm talking about tonight, leaning upon our beloved. I'm leaning on him because he's got it all figured out already. He had it figured out before he ever created the world. He had it already planned out and what's going to happen to me and what's going to happen to this church, what's going to happen to... He already had all that knowledge in his mind a long time ago. So why should I wring my hands now? And why should I... Amen. Y'all stick with me now. And I want you to know tonight that we serve a great God. Amen. And so we're going to lean on our beloved. Let me say the one we're leaning on. He is well able to handle our situation because he knows where we are. And then that assurance of salvation, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, H-A-T-H, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I say hallelujah. Now, how can you get better than that? Amen. I have everlasting life now. Amen. I am saved now. And that's what he said. Hath everlasting life. And I praise him and thank him that I have it now. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and my sheep hear my voice. And I know them by name, and they follow me. Amen. Did you know that sheep know the shepherd's voice? You've heard story after story about shepherds that go out and the sheep would intermingle at the watering place, and then the shepherd walk over here and call out, and his sheep would come because they know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him and know him. Jesus said that he's the shepherd, and we're the sheep. And if we're really saved, we know his voice and we follow him. He didn't, by the way, let me plug this in right here. He didn't say they may follow me. He said they will follow me. Now, I'd tear some of us up pretty good, but anyway, that's what he said. They will follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. if that's true, and it is God's word, Jesus never lied. So he said that he would never lose us. He said, they'll have everlasting life. I say, glory, hallelujah, and praise God for Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hallelujah. God promised me before the world ever started, I'd be in heaven one day. So, hallelujah, how can I ever miss him? You say, preacher, you may get messed up. I may, and God may have to kill me. I realize that fact, but I want you to know I'm going to heaven because I'm saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. And sometimes we mess up and God has to chasten us, and there is a sin unto death, but God doesn't forget about us. Let me give you a third thing. I'm going to try to close here, but he promised never to leave us. Now, I'm leaning upon my beloved coming out of the wilderness. He's got it all figured out from the foundation of the world and already knows. And then I'm assured of my salvation because he promised it to me, and heaven's just as real as if I'm already there. And then he said, while I'm here, he never was going to leave me. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. I've had folk to leave me, and I've had folk to walk out the door. I've had folk to bid me gadoo and all that. But I'm telling you right now, I know one's never going to leave me. He'll never forsake me. He said, I'll go with you all the way. In Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I'm with you. Hallelujah. If he's with me, I can't lean on him if he's not with me. But he promised he'd never leave me. So even when I'm trying to leave him, he won't leave me. Brother Mitchell put it like this. He said, how can you leave somebody that won't leave you? Amen. When they stay with you, how are you going to leave them? And so Jesus said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, but I'm going with you all the way, yea, even the end of the world. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hallelujah. He said, though I stumble and fall and mess up some more, he said, I ain't not going to be utterly left alone. His hand is going to hold me up. Praise God. Amen. I remember one time, Anthony's just a baby, and Juanita and I, we'd been to the dentist office, and one of us had, and we had the baby with us, and it was icy and snowy, and I was going to help her. And I had her by the arm, and we was walking there and hit some ice. I fell and pulled them down with me. Now, I wasn't much to lean on because I failed. But I want you to know, even when it gets icy, even when it gets slick, and even when it looks like I'm going down, he's going to hold me up. Hallelujah. Amen. Or it's snow or ice or solid ground or water, he can walk on the water. If I'm sinking in the water, Lord save me. That's what Peter cried out, and God reached down. Jesus then picked him up. I say, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we can lean on our beloved? Leaning on our beloved. He knows it all from beginning to end. He's well able. He promises eternal life. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So I believe I'll just lean on him. I'll just lean on him. I don't know what's coming between now and Jubilee, but I'm just going to lean on him. When Jubilee gets you, I'm just going to lean on him. And let's just lean on him. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Some problem, some difficulty, something that you don't understand. Won't you just lean on Jesus? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we come to you tonight. We recognize the fact that we need to lean on you with all of our hearts, all our minds, and all that we are. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us lean on you and trust you fully, completely to help us. Lord, I pray tonight that you speak to all of our hearts, these people here that may be unsaved, need to get born in the family of God. People here tonight that's saved but just don't have the joy. Pray they'd come. Pray those that are here and they've got situations they're going through or facing problems or difficult times or whatever it is. I pray tonight they'd come. An old-fashioned altar, and let's just lean on Jesus. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. I invite you to come.